We'll get started now. So remember polar coordinates and how we did a double integral of that. That's the key here. And then cylindrical will be really easy. So we had this idea where we're going to slice up the plane into these kind of circular type regions, segments of sectors, right? So you have some angular position as usual, counterclockwise from the positive x-axis, or you can think of it as turning from the x-axis towards the y-axis. This angle is in radians. And then we measure some distance r from the origin. But then we consider giving r a little bit of variation. So I'm exaggerating, right? If you have that much variation in r, that's not going to be a very good estimate for your double integral. But, you know, I've got an easier picture to see. And we imagine a teeny little d theta also in radians. Right, a variation in the angle as well. So we have this little chunk here, and our little chunk has area dA. Right? Now we make an approximation, we pretend it's a rectangle, right? And the rectangle is that length there. This length, and the other length is the dR, right? So that little arc of a circle, right? We pretend that these two arcs are the same length, that circular arc and that circular arc. That's the little lie we're telling, right? But it's only a small lie, and in the limit of dr and d theta to zero, it becomes true. Right? Okay, so just geometrically, right? We have this little angle d theta, we have this radius r. How long is this little arc here, right? How long is that arc?
Segment of a circle of radius r, the angle varies by an amount d theta.
Remember how long this is?
R d theta, yes.
That's the key. You have this geometric idea that in general, I'll write in capital letters, right? Some r, some angle capital theta, right? Then you have the arc of a circle, right? And it's capital R times capital theta, right?
Yeah, capital thetas look weird. Anyways.
Okay. That's what you do when you're measuring angles and radians. You rig it so that angle times radius is arc length on your circle. So the cylindrical idea is add a z-axis, and there's nothing really fancy about it. We just imagine now, we can, kind of our 3D scenario here. So now we imagine cutting up 3D space into some kind of cylindrical chunks. And we make the same kind of slices here. So imagine kind of a shadow. Imagine there's a light directly above, right? And it shines down on our chunk, and the shadow of our chunk is down here, down there with the same stuff as we had here. But that's just a shadow. Really, the chunk is somewhere maybe up here, right? And besides the that little angular variation d theta, and
the radial variation dr, right?
So a little rectangle, r d theta times dr.
Or fake rectangle. Now we also have the dz. Right? So we're going to pretend that this is a rectangular prism or box. So now the volume of this box is approximated like this, right? You just multiply the three dimensions of your box. If you make your d thetas and drs really small, then this becomes a really good approximation. It becomes very much like a box. You could say the percent error goes to zero as dr and d theta go to zero. And so it becomes like a box. So we have our cylindrical box, so to speak, and we have our volume formula for it. So we can cut up 3D space into those kinds of chunks. So you can do stuff like, we already talked about using this just in 2D to find volumes, and you can do that, for example.
You could also find masses, average values of functions. This is the key. So this is the cylindrical way of slicing up 3D space. The order doesn't really matter. If you want, you can write it this way. Same thing. It's just the volume of a tiny chunk. Now remember, Cartesian. Or rectangular coordinates, right? That's where we have true boxes. Just think of it this way. Dx times dy times dz. Right?
Okay. Now, in 2D,
r is equal to the distance from x comma y to 0, 0, 0. So it's distance to the origin. And we have a Pythagorean formula for it. Okay. Now in 3D here, we need to remember what r means. R is still the square root of x squared plus y squared. That hasn't changed.
But what does r mean geometrically?
What does the square root of x squared plus y squared tell me?
Distance from what to what?
Distance from x, y, z to what? The distance to something, whatever that something is the same no matter what z coordinate you're at, right? Because the formula for r doesn't depend on z.
So what's something where changing my z coordinate will not change my distance to this object? I can go straight up and straight down, but my distance to this thing is the same. And my distance to it is zero, so I'm on this thing when x squared plus y squared is equal to zero.
And the only way the squares could add up to zero is if the squares were zero themselves, because the squares can't be negative. So where are x and y both zero? On the z-axis, yeah.
Yeah, this is measuring distance to the z-axis. We had you know, our shadow of it, right? R measures distance to the origin. Now you can just lift this up to any z-level, and r will measure distance to a point at the same z level on the z-axis, and that's the shortest path to z-axis. So 2 to the z-axis. So if we want to fix my grammar, I'll put a little thug in there. Distance from x, y, z to the z-axis. So that can help you if you have something geometrical and you're trying to make sense of it. Let's see, here's a little story we could tell. About physics problem here. Okay, so here's this it's a conical tank of water. So it gets narrow as you go deeper. Let's give it some dimensions. Let's say this is 5 meters. And then we'll make another measurement down here to say that the radius at the top is, let's say, 2 meters. Now, it's well understood in physics that as you go deeper, the pressure increases. In fact, the pressure will increase linearly with depth. Okay. So I will just make up some numbers here instead of trying to get into all the units. Okay. So let's say pressure is equal to, we'll say the pressure is 1 at the top, and then minus, z over, plus, because the pressure, I've got to be careful there. Okay, so the pressure will be 1 at the top. Now that's going to be where z is 5, so I'm going to make up a function that's equal to 1 and z is 5. So. Some numbers here. You want to do this right, you look up some facts about density of water times gravitational acceleration, and at the top maybe it's at atmospheric pressure and so on. But
thank you.
So I'll call this P. And there's a number of things you could do. Maybe we call the tank T. All the space inside the tank filled with water. So we could talk about a couple things. We could integrate pressure times volume. That would actually come out to be units of energy. So you could interpret that as some energy stored in the form of pressure. So we could ask what that is. You could do another thing. You could take that integral and you could just divide by the volume of the cone. Right. So this is just the volume of T. Think of it as just integrating 1, right? 1 times dV. So if we did this, this would tell us average pressure, right? So we could ask this question as well. So from a physics point of view, both of these integrals, both just the straight up pressure times volume integral and then factoring out volume,
that would be interesting. So this would be average pressure. And this would be a kind of potential energy. So this is this kind of linear relationship where as you go deeper, you get more pressure. So a negative correlation between height and pressure here. That is actually how it is in physics. I just made up some numbers instead of giving you stuff with the correct units and everything. So you'd have to do this kind of integral if you wanted to answer questions about how much energy is stored in the form of pressure. What is the average pressure? Now, if you invested in a calculator that can do symbolic integrals, it can do the innermost integral symbolically, then it'll do the second integral symbolically, and then finally it'll do the third integral, and out you'll get a number, right? You can do an iterated integral if you can set it up, right? Can you figure out what is an iterated integral that would actually compute, say, this thing? I could do this one without an integral, because I know a formula for the volume of a cone. So if I did that triple integral for volume, that would just be like proving the volume of a cone, I guess. But, the ancient Greeks had clever ways of doing that kind of thing without an integral. They had some things like integrals, but they were much harder than our integrals. Anyways, the volume of a cone, right, so we'd have the base, should be pi r squared, right? And we have a height of 5, so we'd have a what? 1/3 base height, right? So I could tell you this one is 1/3 pi times 2 squared times 5. That's not so bad. Don't need integral for that. But this one takes some more effort. Got to set up right. And cylindrical slicing would do pretty well here, I think. This is a good example of where you could use cylindrical slicing. We'll talk about spherical stuff tomorrow, but because this thing has a flat top and not a piece of a sphere as the top. Because it has a flat top, cylindrical is actually better here than spherical. So can we set it up? That's all about geometry, which is setting up the integral correctly. Now, to be clear here, I'm thinking of this right here as being the origin, right? And I'm thinking the top is z equals 5, okay? And this rim here, right? Maybe it needs color, right? Rim is at r equals 2. How do I set up this little triple integral? Pressure times volume, right? Okay. So, focus on... Let's see. Okay, so we're going to use the cylindrical coordinates. So here was this. That was the pressure. And then we're going to have a cylindrical volume differential.
And we have to figure out what is the region of integration in terms of R, theta, and Z.
Here's our cone again. So down here you have Z and R are zero. Up here at the rim, we have R equals 2 and Z equals 5. Just random point on the top, R could be something less than 2, right? But Z is still 5. So we need to make slices.
This is a triple integral, so we're going to slice three times. And we can choose which order we slice in, right? We make a slice of roughly where it's roughly constant Z, slice of roughly constant R, slice of roughly constant theta. So we have to pick one. So
I think it's probably easiest to start with the z's, because we know that no matter where we are, z is just going to be between 0 and 5. So first,
I'm going to make a cut.
Where I have roughly constant z's, okay? So this is, we make a cut at some z, it's somewhere between 0 and 5. We have a little bit of thickness, dz, for our slice. So that's the first part. Okay.
Okay, next part, it doesn't matter too much which part I do next. How about we do theta?
Theta's pretty easy as well. Okay, what possible theta values could we have?
Anything, right?
There's no restriction on the angle.
Right? Remember, the angle is,
we've got our x-axis, y-axis, z-axis, and as you turn from the x-axis towards the y-axis, right, some angle theta, you keep going around, that tells you what your position is. That could be anything, right? We can go around the cone as many times as we want, we'll still be in the cone. The only issue is don't double count, right? We want to get every angular position once and only once, but 2 pi is the same as 4 pi, and 2 pi is the same as 0.
Right? Whenever you add or subtract 2 pi, you go back to where you started. So if we can pick any interval of length 2 pi for theta, that'll get every angular position once and only once. So we'll count every bit of volume, but not miss anything either.
And not double count. Yeah. If we won't miss anything, we won't double count. Okay, so just anything of length 2 pi,
whatever's convenient. Negative pi to pi, 0 to 2 pi. I usually do 0 to 2 pi, but any interval of length 2 pi.
Will give us every angular position once and only once. So we imagine we cut out a kind of pie slice here. Right? So I'm cutting out of this pie slice.
All right. So
I've got my pie slice, and there it is.
And now we need to make our last slice, and this is the one that
is going to be the. We have to do the last. So the last thing is R, right? Well, certainly R, we can make a slice for any R at least 0, right? R can't be negative, but we can go all the way to the z-axis in the center of the cone. So we can get all the way down to R equals 0. That's not a problem. And so we're making some slice here. Fine, but the question is, what's the biggest R could be? Given, so remember, I've already made my z slice. Okay, so I've made some z slice at some z between 0 and 5. Maybe this is z equals 2.7, I don't know. Right? Given a z value, how far could R go out? This is where we actually use the fact that it's a cone, right? Not just anything of a flat top, but the side is a cone. So given z, how far out does R go, right? How far out do I go?
And maybe if I put
subscripts, like the minimum, right? The minimum R can be a 0, right? But way out here, what's the maximum R? I need something from geometry to figure this out. Two words. First word starts with an S, the second word starts with a T. Similar triangles. Yeah. Okay. I think I got a. Here's 5 and 2 for like a piece of the whole tank here, right? So you go up 5 to get to the top, and at the top it's got this radius of 2. Okay.
And what are we doing, right?
We're doing this, right? Instead of 5, we're just going up z, right? And then this is our little
R max that we're trying to figure out, right?
How far out can we go? What is?
What's the most R can be, given some z value?
Two right triangles. We have some angle there. So if you don't like similar triangles, you can just think of it in terms of trig functions, right? The tangent of phi is, on the one hand, it's 2 over 5, but on the other hand, it's also that maximum r over z, right? So you can solve for that, right? So, given this little trick here,
you can tell me that the greatest R can be at this little slice is
2/5 z.
Right? Just solve for that R.
Solve this equation for the R.
So that's the last piece of the puzzle. And then all that other stuff in there,
the pressure, which I think is simplifies to 3 minus z over 2. It's the pressure. And then here's the dv, r, dr, d theta, dz. Okay, all that good stuff.
We finally have this thing set up as a triple integral. So there's an easy part, right?
Writing out what's called the integrand, right? All this stuff. And usually the hard part is if it's given geometrically, how do you set up appropriate limits of integration?
So I went through that at a pretty gentle pace. And I didn't just write out, okay, here it is. Here are the limits.
But it doesn't have to take this long to do it if you have practice.
This is me taking a long time to try and explain and comment on everything. Maybe you see the similar triangle in your head and you say, oh, of course, it's 2/5 z. And just write it all out. Now.
So here's one little comment I'll make. What if I had decided to slice R first? Well, then I would have done it this way. R from 0 to 2, and then theta still goes from 0 to 2 pi. It really doesn't matter where you put theta here. But then z would go from 0 to, instead of 2/5, it would be a 5/2, right? The opposite relation. So if I had sliced r before z, I'd get something like this.
The theta limits, again, don't depend on R and Z, and the R and Z limits don't depend on theta. So
you could move this integral around, which is one.
Another thing to note here is that I was very careful to write Z equals, theta equals, R equals, so that I knew what order I was doing. If you don't write out these things, then you have to be very careful to get the order of the differentials here right.
So if you want to write less at the risk of understanding less, here's our two versions of the integral, right? Just 0 to 5, 0 to 2 pi, and then 0 to 2/5 z. But then I have to use the order of the differentials to explain what variables I'm integrating there. So if I do it this way, the r is the inner integral, and the theta is the middle integral, and the z is the outer integral. So I actually had them in the matching order here. So if I left out the z equals theta equals r equals, I would have been okay. This one, though, you see that
the outer integral is r, so you have to switch them around. So for the second version, I have to be very careful. Z is the inner integral, theta is still the middle integral, now r is the outer integral. So. You can actually compute this integral without a calculator because there's a whole bunch of symmetries and it's polynomials also, so you can factor stuff out. Let's say we use the first version. It won't matter much. Let's do the maximum amount of factoring out I can. The theta limits don't depend on r and z, and there's no theta dependence of all the r and z stuff. So you can actually factor out all the theta stuff completely, because there's no dependence of the r and z stuff on theta. And the theta stuff doesn't depend on r and z. What else can we factor out? Well, the r limits, though, depend on z. So you can't factor out the r integral because it depends on z. We can factor everything out of the r integral that doesn't depend on r, though. So I could do this. But I really can't take this integral here that has a limit depending on z and factor it out of the z integral, right? Because it's not a constant multiple. This integral depends on z, so I really need to keep it inside the z integral. The theta integral did not depend on z, so I was able to pull it out of the z integral. Right? So I could factor something out right there. So this integral's not too bad. So the theta integral is just 2 pi. The r integral will be r squared over 2 evaluated at the limits. Right?
and still times the 3 minus z over 2. Okay, so this, you plug in 0, you'll get nothing, so the important part is there. 2z divided by 5 squared divided by 2. So I think I get that. Okay. 4 25ths z squared divided by 2 makes 2 25ths z squared. Okay, so I can factor out a 4 pi over... I'll factor out the 25th in that case. I can see an advantage of keeping the 2 in here, because 2 will cancel that half. So, what do we have now? We have 6z squared minus z cubed. 6z squared, 2z squared times... So in the end, it just becomes a regular calculus 1 integral. Let's see here. So z cubed over 3 times 6, so 2z cubed minus z to the 4th over 4. We have to plug in 5 and 0. And when we plug in 0, we'll get nothing from powers of 0, so we will get 2 times 125, 250 minus 625 over 4. Okay, sure. That's a little more digestible. Okay, so. So there it was, broken out over many steps, and what was our big idea at the beginning? Big idea at the beginning is this new way of slicing up 3D space. And then we had another idea at some point along the way where to solve our particular problem, we need some similar triangles. So if you have triangle problems or cone problems in math or physics or engineering, often a similar triangle is lurking beneath the surface and you need to use it. Okay, so what do you think? Questions, comments about this problem? Here's an elliptic paraboloid. Those. This is a bowl. It has radial symmetry though, so cylindrical coordinates are good for this. Hence me writing it as z equals 2r squared. Okay. Now let's say a B is going to be a bowl region. This is the interior of a bowl here. Everything where z is between 2r squared and 18. Oh, it looks like this. Tall, narrow bowl, I guess. There's the top. Say we do just a simple density mass problem. Right? So, given density, so the mass of one of our little tiny chunks of space divided by the volume of that tiny chunk of space of make it interesting. Given a density of 3 divided by r, which you might think is going to cause problems, right? Because that's going to go to infinity as we approach r equals 0, right? Now, I claim that actually, even though you have a density approaching infinity along this line here, the mass still comes out finite. You can also go ahead and find for me the average r coordinate. Again, despite the fact that the density tends towards infinity as r goes to 0, there's the average r coordinate is actually not 0. All the mass is not 0. So there's actually some positive r value which represents average distance to the z-axis. But here we're taking a weighted average according to our funny density function. Like this happens in physics with energy densities, but that would be more appropriate to discuss in spherical coordinates, where you can have energy densities go to infinity at a point, but the energy in the region still comes out finite. So maybe I can do something like that tomorrow or something. Okay, 120. Any other questions or comments? Okay. So we have that old batch, 30 through 34, due today. And then next Monday, we have 35 to 40 due. All right. And there's no homework 36 because that was a test day. And if you
haven't gotten your test back yet. I have them here.